step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Hello everybody, welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge. This is your latest Manchester United transfer news as we discuss the transfer fallout. How's Carrick feeling? How are Ineos feeling? They're not very happy. What will Man United do next? Lots to get into on the show. Lots of arguments in the fan base at the moment. All I'm going to say right at the start is get your comments in if you're not watching live. Get your comments in if you are watching live. For those people out there that are trying to defend Man United messing up this summer transfer window so far, you can't do it. You're trying, but you can't do it. I've seen people doing videos, I've seen people doing tweets, and they're getting rinsed in their own comments, and they are getting rinsed big time because you cannot defend it. There is nothing that you can say that will defeat everybody else giving you loads of evidence that this is a mess. And it is a mess. What I would say is that I expect a reaction from Manchester United. There has to be a reaction. I don't think that if they leave it like this, it's going to end very, very well. For me, all paths lead to Tchouaméni. For some people, they lead to Belaba. We'll delve into that. We'll delve into what United might do next. But what I will say at the very, very outset here is that Fernandes deal yesterday for Tottenham, when you break it down, is a shambles for Manchester United. There is no way they can try and, you know, spin that into a positive. All it was United losing on a player that they really wanted. And all this PR that's coming out, I've even seen clips of Bruno Fernandes saying, no, Bruno's not come out. I'm not having a pop at Bruno. I love Bruno. But Roy Keane had to be persuaded to come to Manchester United. Wayne Rooney did. Rio Ferdinand did. Bruno Fernandes did. All our good players had to be persuaded to come to Manchester United because that's how it works. But there's this clip going round of Bruno Fernandes saying, we need players at the club that want Manchester United. This is an interview from Bruno Fernandes when Tottenham wanted him back in 2020. It was the team that wanted me the most and was the only one I agreed to talk with because there were other clubs that didn't interest me or whose project was not up to my expectations. Tottenham fit into everything I wish I had at the moment. It is an appealing championship. Basically, that's what Bruno Fernandes said when he, you know, was looking to go to Tottenham before Man United came in. So Bruno Fernandes himself very nearly signed for Tottenham. He wasn't sat there in a pair of Man United pajamas going, please come and get me, Man United. He nearly went to Tottenham. He liked the project. It didn't happen because they couldn't agree a fee. This is what happens in football. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing what Man United are putting out there. And it terrifies me and many other intelligent people. It terrifies people that we are as a football club trying to claw back respectability that Matheus Fernandes didn't beg, steal and borrow to come to Manchester United. And yet every big player we've signed didn't do that. You know, I know Mbeumo and Cunha did, but look, yeah, that's not the norm. That was abnormal. If you want good players, you have to sell them a project. It's very, very simple. So we'll delve into that because there's quite a few bits I want to get into. But I think also, as well, just to head off a couple of other complaints that, you know, some United fans have and the club are trying to convey. Market prats, I'd call them. You know, this talk about how, you know, we shouldn't overpay. We don't need to pay. In fact, there's a very good comment from Rio Ferdinand that I want to talk about. And when I say good, I just think it's bad from him, but it's easy to expose it. I think we're market prats. And I think some of our fans are as well. These people saying, you know, we're not going to overpay. We're not going to overpay. We shouldn't overpay. We're not going to overpay. It's not up to you and it's not up to Manchester United. This is the ridiculous thing. If you're homeless and you have half a million to spend on a house and you keep trying to buy houses and people keep selling it to somebody else because you won't offer enough, you're going to stay homeless, right? You are, because you don't dictate the market. The seller does. So everybody that's saying Matheus Fernandes is overpriced at 85 million or Alex Scott's overpriced at 80 or Belaba's overpriced at 70 or Anderson's overpriced at 113 or Tonali's overpriced at 100, they're not. That's the market price. And it's hilarious that the club, Manchester United, and some of our fans are going, yeah, well, we're right to walk away. You're going to end up homeless. This is the market. Oh, wow, 250 grand a week's ridiculous. Yeah, you know what? You know what my problem with 250 grand a week is? I don't have a problem with 250 grand a week. That's what my problem is. If you are going to buy a marquee signing for £80 million, I would expect them to be on 250 grand a week. And this is the thing that, you know, I've been waiting because I didn't do the morning show. The amount of people that are going, well, we offered him 170 and he didn't take it, the mercenary bastard. You know, and I'm like, hold on a minute. On the one hand, he is a marquee signing for £80 million. And on the other hand, he should be taking 150 grand a week. I mean, Spurs have literally offered him the right wage. When Arsenal bought when Arsenal bought Declan Rice for £100 million, they gave him 260 grand a week. Spurs are buying an £85 million player and they're giving him between £200 and £250 grand a week. And people are going, it's too much money. Whilst we're paying Mason Mount 250 grand a week to model new kits, you know, the hypocrisy is hilarious. If the data set, and this is the other one as well, we've got to trust the scouts. We've got, you know, we can't overpay and we can't overpay on wages. We've got to trust the scouts. Why do you think we spent 4 weeks talking to Matheus Fernandes? Because the data said Matheus Fernandes. We're literally walking away from our own data because we don't want to pay. Where United are now, in one sentence, is we will only pay what we think the price should be. And that's very scary because the market says the price is something else. And we don't dictate the market. So we end up being market prats because we're walking around going, we're not going to pay that. We're not going to pay that. We're not going to pay that. And everyone else is going, well, they will, and they will. And you won't get anything. Well, we'll get something. Yeah, you'll end up with plan F, G, and H. So, you know, come at us. There are people out there that want to defend the Glazers on this. And remember, you're not defending the club. You're not defending Wilcox. You're not defending Carrick. You are defending the Glazers. The Glazers write the checks. The people who won't pay 250 grand a week are Ineos and the Glazers. The people who won't pay £85 million up front are Ineos and the Glazers. The people that won't bid for Tonali are Ineos and the Glazers. The people that wouldn't go for Anderson are Ineos and the Glazers. You are defending them. They have put your club into debt. They are going to knock Old Trafford down. You are defending those people who, on the one hand, are happy to pay 30 to 60 million pounds a year in debt interest, but won't pay a footballer 250 grand a week. They're happy to have debt of up to £1 billion on this football club that they inflicted on it to buy it, but they're not happy to pay 85 million pounds for a player. Keep defending them. Keep defending those billionaires who are rich off you. Keep defending them. Keep defending them. Incredible. Where are we at? We will go back into all of this because there's a few things that I do want to talk about. There's some very funny comments I just want to obliterate as well because, you know, they're wrong, in my opinion. The people defending the Glazers are wrong. And I want the reasons because they will get beat every single time. You are wrong, in my opinion, to defend this because what I'm hearing people do is say, well, you know, we should trust the scouts and we should go somewhere else. The scouts said Anderson. The data said Fernandes. The data said Diamande. The data said Semenyo. The data said Tonali. That's the data said Lewis Hall. That's six players that the data said go for and the bank said no. So you're championing the bank, not the data. And also, a little bit of breaking news. A little bit of breaking news. There's two things from United, right? One, Carrick is relaxed because he's happy to have the job. He feels he did a good job with the players that he had to get his third place. And he feels that with what he's got, he can do that again. So Carrick's not panicking. Whether that's a good thing or not, I don't know. Also, Alex Scott is somebody that United would like to move on. But Alex Scott will be harder than Matheus Fernandes. He might not be as expensive, but he will be as hard. Essentially, there is more competition for Scott and Bournemouth are not willing sellers. So with Matheus Fernandes, West Ham were willing sellers and there was less competition. With Alex Scott, there's more competition and Bournemouth want to keep him. So that's going to make it a harder deal. Doesn't mean he's going to be £85 million. And United are going to have to react. But essentially what United are doing, because they've already put it out about Tonali, they are interested in Tonali, but only if the price comes down, which it won't. So with Alex Scott, he is basically a player that Man United want, but won't overpay for, and there's a lot of competition. So essentially what Man United are hoping for is that Alex Scott basically says, I only want Manchester United. Manchester United is the only club that I want. Yeah? And let me just give you a few facts around this. Manchester United are putting it out there after 13 years of not winning a Premier League title. After 13 years of very rarely being in the Champions League, and when they are, doing next to nothing. So 13 years of utter failure, Man United are putting it out there that if you're a decent player, you must burn your bridges at the club you're at and basically shit on them and publicly declare your undying love to Manchester United. And we may come and get you. What we mean by may is we will try to, but if the club you've shit on demands a high price, we'll walk away like we did with Baleba. So you're asking players to do something that basically fucks their career up. Because if Alex Scott says, I only want Manchester United, he better bloody hope we can do a deal with Bournemouth when they don't want to sell him. It would be career suicide. But this is what Man United want people to do. Man United want players to basically say to the club that's given them a chance, up yours, I'm screwing you over so we can drive the price down. I publicly don't want to be here. Fuck all your fans. Fuck you, the club. This is my transfer request. I do not want to go to Chelsea or Arsenal or anyone else. I only want to go to Man United. And you better drop the price by 25% in the process. I mean, you're asking players to do a hell of a lot in that situation, aren't you? And what I find hilarious is, and I don't think this is an age thing, by the way. I mean, I am old enough to remember. But to be fair, there's plenty of younger fans who've gone and found this out for themselves. Let's take Roy Keane as an example, because I think Roy Keane sort of echoes Matheus Fernandes quite a lot. When we bought Roy Keane from Nottingham Forest, he wasn't the world-class player that he was at Man United. He was doing well. I mean, you could argue that he was a different type of midfielder. He was scoring a lot of goals, to be fair. But you could argue Roy Keane at Nottingham Forest wasn't a hell of a lot of difference between Roy Keane and what Matheus Fernandes is at West Ham. And we did break the British transfer record for him. The equivalent today would be around 80, 100 million pounds, 116 million pounds. So we did that. Back in 1993, we went to a relegated club and broke the British transfer record. Some of our fans are in uproar about this, by the way. Oh, imagine being Spurs and breaking the British transfer record for a relegated player. Well, we literally did do it. We used to be quite successful and we did do it. I also think for Tottenham, £85 million for Matheus Fernandes is a bit of a bargain because it creates confidence in that football club. Their fan base, their manager are empowered. Matheus Fernandes was wanted by Manchester United. Arsenal were taking a look. Real Madrid were taking a look. He's now playing for Spurs. If Man United and Arsenal and PSG and Real Madrid were looking at him, he's not shit, is he? So loads of you wanted him as well. So there might not be a lot of difference between Matheus Fernandes at West Ham and Roy Keane when he was at Nottingham Forest. And maybe Matheus Fernandes will become a very, very good player. And maybe they'll sell him to Real Madrid in 3 or 4 years for £150 million. We don't know. Our data said the same. So it makes me laugh when people are saying he's shit, but our data said go for him. And a lot of you said go for him. But the funny thing for me is that we literally used to do this. Roy Keane was relegated with Forest and we broke the British transfer record to get him. So we used to do this. This is what we used to do. So, you know, all these people in the club saying we won't overpay, we haven't won the Premier League for 13 years. We've been nowhere near it. Between 1992 and 2005, we used to overpay. We used to break records. We overpaid for Rooney. We overpaid for Yap Stam. We overpaid for Rio Ferdinand. We overpaid for Andy Cole. We overpaid for Roy Keane. We did it consistently. How many Premier League titles did we win between 1992 and 2005? I think we won 8 in 12. So we've won no titles in 13 years. And that, but the plan is to only buy cheap players who want Man United. Yet for that 12-year period, we'd go out and wrestle people for the best players and pay what it took, and we won 8 Premier League titles out of 12. So basically what Glinios are doing is they're making up their own rules for success, which have no backstory at all and no CV. And some of us are going, yeah, but we literally wrote the rule book on how to be successful in the Premier League. And it is to go out and get the best. It is to spend on the best. And you might think Matheus Fernandes is overrated, but literally our data said go and get him and you said you're not going to pay for it. That's what sticks in the claw of many of us. Some of our fans are right. They're like, I never wanted him in the first place. £85 million is ridiculous. But this football club said he was the right guy. This football club said Elliot Anderson was the right guy. And we walked away because we don't want to pay. But we used to pay. We used to go and pay, and we used to be very successful. So these fans who are backing Glinios on what? What they did at Nice? What the Glazers have done for the last 13 years? You're backing Glazers and Ineos on their football knowledge. Look at Nice. Look at the last 13 years. But suddenly, people in our fan base want to back the tactics of the Glazers and Ineos in the transfer market when we've done sod all for 13 years. And yet, we used to go and break British transfer records. We used to go and pay big wages. And we used to win Premier League titles. So look, I understand there's a bit of a divide in the fan base at the moment, but I think I'll stick with what I know. I think I'll stick with the days when we used to buy Rooney and Keane and Rio and Stam and Van Nistelrooy and pay good money for good players and give them the wages. And let me just tell you the story of Roy Keane, by the way, because when Roy Keane was at Nottingham Forest and they got relegated, he didn't run home and get a Man United kit on with Paul Ince on the back and say, come and sign me. He actually agreed a deal with Blackburn Rovers with Kenny Dalglish. He actually shook hands with Kenny Dalglish on a Friday afternoon and agreed to go to Blackburn. And Kenny Dalglish went away for the weekend and Sir Alex Ferguson met with him and hijacked the deal. Persuaded him not to go to Blackburn Rovers, to come to Manchester United. And he became the Premier League's best ever captain and one of our best ever players. But he shook hands to go to Blackburn. He wasn't there in a Man United pair of pyjamas going, no, I only want Man United. He was literally shaking hands to go to Blackburn. And if Sir Alex Ferguson hadn't hijacked the deal, he would have played for Blackburn. You know what the Glazers would do now with that Roy Keane deal? That's literally Elliot Anderson. That's literally Matheus Fernandes today. The Roy Keane deal wouldn't happen under this ownership. They wouldn't break the British transfer record. They wouldn't put a good wage offer in. And they wouldn't challenge Blackburn because that's where he said he wants to go. Wake up. For God's sake, wake up. Look at what made us great. We are doing the opposite now. We're doing the opposite. We had to persuade Rooney. We had to persuade all these players to come to us. And we're literally not even arguing about opinion. We're arguing about facts. When we were good, we used to hijack and persuade people to come who were going somewhere else. This, we only want players who want to play for Manchester United, is embarrassing. It's embarrassing. You've got to persuade them to come. You've got to persuade good players to come. It's as simple as that. Absolutely. And I find it hilarious that some people are defending these billionaires who haven't got a bloody clue about the football club. What do we think is going to happen next? As I said, Carrick is relaxed. He's over the moon to have the job. He feels that the players that got him third place, most of them are going to be here. Michael Carrick is certainly not in a position where he's storming around saying, this is a disgrace in the transfer window. This is a huge job for Carrick. He's used to Middlesbrough. This is a huge job. He's indebted to the football club. He's not there going, you're a bunch of prats. That's not what United have recruited. They've recruited somebody who's very grateful for getting the job, who's very inexperienced. So Michael Carrick is relaxed. Whether he's right to be relaxed or not, I don't know, but he is relaxed. Ineos are panicking because they are panicking in a different way because they feel the market is wrong and they are right. So Ineos are frustrated. The Glazers are bloody useless. They just write the checks. Ineos run the football side. They're frustrated because they're not getting the players they want for the price they want to pay. So they wanted Matheus Fernandes. They wanted Elliot Anderson, but they won't pay the price. And their stance is, well, it's not fair. you know, we should be able to get those players for what we think the price is, market price. So the question is where we go next. And there will be a reaction. There has to be a reaction. There is an Amazon documentary that's been signed off. There is a huge season coming up. These people that say, we're not going to sign anyone, or we're going to go and get bloody, you know, some bag of shit for £30 million. United will react and they will end up paying decent money for somebody. I think it has to be Tchouaméni. I think it has to be Tchouaméni. And apparently Tonali to Spurs is done as well. Let me just have a quick look.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Oh no, Fabrizio says Tottenham and Newcastle remain locked in talks for Tonali. He remains the top target for Tottenham. So yeah, we'll come back to that in a minute anyway. I think that I don't think it's done yet, is it? No, we're not. It's not done yet. I think United's it's Tchouaméni or bust, as it says in the title for me. I think if we don't get Tchouaméni, I don't know what we do, because the midfield at the moment is Mainoo and Ederson, and we need two, and it's not good enough. And I thought about it this morning, and apparently Spurs are going to go for Kroupi at Bournemouth, by the way. I don't know whether anyone's picked up on that. So not only have they got Senesi on a free, Van Hek from Brighton, they've got Mateus Fernandez, they will get Tonali, they're going for Kroupi as well. I don't know whether they'll get Kroupi, but they're going to go for Kroupi as well. So they're not in Europe. They're not in Europe. And as I said to you last night, you can defend these tightwads who are running the football club. Spurs finished 17th and they're doing that. Like, you can't protect this. Please try. Please try and defend them. Please be one of those people that try and defend them. But you will get beaten so badly by everybody else in this fan base. You cannot defend what the Glazers and Ineos are doing. Even if you're a banker and you're like, well, we just can't afford it. Why can't we afford it? Why can't Man United, who make more revenue than Tottenham, probably double the revenue Tottenham make, why can't Man United afford it? We can't afford it because our owners are shit, basically. How can Spurs outspend Manchester United? I'll leave you with that one, because you won't be able to riddle your way out of it. All you Glinios sympathisers, you will not be able to riddle your way out of that one. How are Spurs able to outspend Manchester United? There's one word. It's called ambition. That's it. But look, I don't know whether it's going to be Tchouaméni. I know there's people out there begging for it to be him. I think if you watch France, he's perfect for our system. You know, if you watch France, they've got really good attacking players. And he just sits there, protects the back four better than Casemiro ever could, because Casemiro was never prime with us. He's perfect for what we need. He is a number six. What worries me is that the profile of players that United were going for were not a number six. So you've got to follow the evidence. Mateus Fernandez, not a six. Anderson, not a six. Mainoo, not a six. For whatever reason, sometimes you've got to follow not necessarily what you want, but what's happening in front of you. United weren't looking for a six. They were going for an eight. So I don't know what the plan was there, but, you know, that's what we were looking to do. With Tchouaméni, I said this to you way before anybody else, because I know it's from the player side. He will come to Manchester United. We don't need Rio to ring him up. We don't need United to persuade him. He will come to Man United. He literally will be that guy who wants Man United. So we don't need to, you know, I think sometimes you do need to persuade players. I ain't got a problem with that. We don't need to persuade Tchouaméni. If Real Madrid want to sell him, he wants to come to Manchester United. So it's there. The feedback is, yet again, we don't want to pay. So that's going to be the barrier. But that's been the barrier with everybody. Diamande, Semenyo, Tonali, Anderson, Fernandez. It's the same barrier that we need to jump. It's the fee. It's not the player, it's the fee. If we'd have matched Spurs, Fernandes would be wearing a Man United shirt. If we paid for Tonali, he'd be wearing a Man United shirt. If we'd gone toe-to-toe with Man City, maybe he'd have wore a Man City shirt, but maybe he'd have wore a Man United shirt. So with Tchouaméni, it comes down to whether we want to pay. And that is simply the most important thing. He will sign for Manchester United. It's whether we go for him. I literally don't know. I do not know which way that's going to go. All I know is if Real Madrid sell him, Tchouaméni will come to Man United. I think that is the deal that in some way rescues this window. But I will guarantee you this, because I live in the amber zone. I don't do red and green. I can be positive when I need to be and I can be negative when I need to be. Right here, right now, United need all the criticism that they are getting, guaranteed. But I would say to myself and everybody else, we're not going to stay in this zone. United are the kings of PR. There will be a reaction. The question is, will the reaction just be a cover-up, a papering of the cracks, or will it be a genuine reaction? And what I mean by that is, we will move on to another target now, and it will be plan D, E, or F. People will champion that. People will get excited about it. The ITKs will be leaking stuff that's not true again. Everything will carry on again, as it always does. Because we've been in this cycle for years. This happens every summer. Fernandes and Anderson and Tonali are not the first players that we've missed out on because we're shit at transfers. It happens every year for a decade. There will be a response. The question is the response the right response? Is it a Belabor? Is it an Alex Scott? Or is it a Tchouaméni? And that's the thing we're going to have to wait and see. For me, the response has to be Tchouaméni. Because as much as I like Alex Scott and I prefer him to Fernandes, that's a really difficult deal to do. And we already know he's not the one. And also, this is very important. We as fans already know United haven't got what they want. We already know going into next season that the club have delivered, you know, lower level targets for Michael Carrick because we've publicly been beaten on a number of transfers. But I think it has to be Tchouaméni. I think it's the only deal that will, well, I don't speak for you. If we got Tchouaméni, I'd be very happy. So you can only deal with yourself. I look at it and go, if we get Tchouaméni, that's the only deal that's going to make me feel anywhere near hopeful about next season. I think that's where we have to end up going. Let me just get into some of your comments. There's still quite a few bits to get into. Shall we start from the top? Mark, is it too optimistic, says the streets will never, that Casemiro was our last good midfield signing and he was a panic purchase? Panic can be good. Well, yeah, I think we are in panic zone now. I mean, I don't think we would have signed Tchouaméni if we got Matheus Fernandes. I was having this conversation with somebody this morning. They said, if we got Matheus Fernandes, what do you think we would have done next? I don't think we would have done anything significant. I think we would have wrapped that up as, you know, the big deal, and that would have been it. You said in Burma and Cunha chose us, Amrim sold it, says Greg. Yeah, but that I can only react to what the club said. The players said it was Amrim that sold it. The club put it out there that they only ever wanted Man United. Escalara says we should go for Mora from Mexico. Remember when you... I'm not doing the Nagelsmann thing. Can I just say very, very quickly? There are some people out there in the midst of Man United's transfer crisis. They're really obsessed with Nagelsmann getting knocked out of the World Cup by Germany. And they want a conversation about it. And I'm just going to appeal to them. So if you want to listen, you can or you can't, right? Nagelsmann's a better coach than Carrick. I would have took him over Carrick, but we've got Carrick. So I'll back Carrick. I don't get what the Nagelsmann conversation is. I would have gone for Nagelsmann over Carrick. We went with Carrick. I'll back Carrick. Would Carrick have won the World Cup with Germany? Doubt it. But Carrick's the manager. I said if they give him the job, I'll back him. He's been the manager for over a month. I don't get the Nagelsmann thing. Cunha and Bermo are the last of a generation who only want to come to United. Ironically, if the board wants that profile, they need to buy 28 players, says Arca. How pissed off are you that we may not offload Ugarte right away due to his injury? Doesn't help our cause. These things happen, you know. It's like Emily said, we seem really unprepared for this transfer window. And, you know, when a player's playing in the World Cup, they could get injured. Thankfully, Ahmad hasn't. But Ahmad, when he went down yesterday, that could have been a knee injury. And then you've got to replace Ahmad. It's almost like we don't anticipate that the market might be more expensive than we thought, or that players might get injured in a World Cup at the end of a long season. It's almost, I'm not angry about it. It's the way things go. The biggest signing this summer is going to be the land for the new stadium. This is Ben MC. One step forward, three steps back. Last summer was half decent. If we don't sign Tchouaméni, we will be in serious trouble, says Korsh. United trying to buy a Ferrari cheap and save on fuel, says Jacob. We all know integrating Rashford back is a horrific decision, but we've swallowed it already. It's not fair to accept two marquee midfield signings now. If that's the case, protest must be imminent, says Jack. This club doesn't understand that other clubs will know that we are desperate after the Fernandes deal and will increase the price. There's two problems with not signing Mateus Fernandes or Elliot Anderson. One, they were our plan A and B, and Tonali was probably plan C. So we're already down to plan D. And two, everybody knows that we've got about £80 million to spend on a midfielder because that's what we were going to do for Mateus Fernandes. So, yeah, we're not going to wander in anywhere and get anybody cheap, no. And also, that player knows that they're not plan A. So when you go and negotiate with Bournemouth and say, we really, really want you, Alex Scott, he's going to know the truth. Too many fans and the club itself are trying to rewrite economics. Can't cross your arms and say, well, I'm Man United and get a market correction. Oh, they're market prats, fear of God fans, yeah. Scott is not a number six and Belabre is on the bench. Only elite number six is Tchouaméni. If Man United think they can get Tchouaméni on the cheap, good luck. This is Glazonomics, says ADB. Even if Fernandes would have refused all of the clubs, we still would have paid 85. We couldn't even negotiate to pay Cunha's release clause in more instalments and we paid top market value for Mbeumo, says Goldfridge. Devils says, you support the United players who collude with other clubs to beat down United and call out the club when they expect others to do this for them. Hypocrisy at its finest. I don't understand what you're saying there, mate. Maybe you should have put a comma in there and, you know, brackets and stuff. I genuinely don't understand what you're saying. Maybe come back. Glinios, I like someone who shops at Poundland and asks for a discount, says Ratcliffe David. I saw people slandering Nagelsmann, saying people wanted him over Carrick. This is where the media is going, just to line the Glazers' pockets, says Red Devil. Yeah, it's a weird one. It's a weird one. I don't really get it. Why aren't we doing... Yeah, Germany lost on penalties, by the way, as well. Germany had about 50 fucking shots in that game as well. It's a strange one. Why aren't we doing business in Europe? All the successful players for City in the past decade were from Europe, says Rios. Michael says, but he is not the best and 85 million is absolutely ridiculous for a guy 2 years in a row. You can't even spell relegated, Michael. We are suffering now because we've been awful. I don't really get what your point is, Michael. Manchester United's data said that Mateus Fernandes was a good player. So are you arguing with United or are you backing United for walking away from a player that they rated and you didn't? You sound very confused, mate. If you can't beat them, join them. We can't beat Spurs, but we'll join them down in 17th. Other than Leicester, every other Premier League winner has spent big, says Connor. 5 years watching, love your work. Chant during matches so the world hears our protests through broadcast. No, just the United lasers out, says Emil. Stop everything and campaign against Glinios first, says Devils. It seems the board want potential players to commit for negotiation purpose and not for the sake of the team. Isn't that reversing your priorities, says Daniel. Well, the way I read it is that we basically want players who we want to go. So in the case of Alex Scott, what we want to do is speak to his agent and his agent to say, Alex Scott wants you. And then we want Alex Scott to basically say, I only want Man United. So we want him to sabotage Bournemouth to come to Manchester United to bring the price down. That's the way I read it. And, if another club's interested, he's basically got to tell them to piss off and only negotiate with us. So basically what we're asking for is Anthony, who went on strike at Ajax to get a move to Man United. And then when it wasn't going well at Man United, basically did the same to get a move to Betis. So basically we want mercenaries. I don't get the whole, we only want players who want to sign for Man United, because it's not just that. It's about driving, we want them to basically go on strike to drive the price down, to benefit ourselves. That's how I see it anyway. Daniel Smith says it's the principle of the Fernandes deal which is the issue. The fact that they didn't get what they wanted, people are strung on the player, says Daniel. I don't blame Mateus Fernandes, by the way. Certain people in our fan base are calling him a mercenary. We didn't have a bid accepted. There was no Man United offer for him to even make a decision. Man United didn't bid for him. We didn't want to pay for him. So how can he be a mercenary? I don't have a problem with him at all. I actually quite respect the fact that he didn't screw West Ham over and only, you know, try and drive the price down. When's your next vacation, says Sunrisers? Hopefully after the World Cup, I'll get a few days. As I said earlier, Cunha and Bermo saying they only wanted United gave the board a false sense of entitlement. Now they think they can pull the best and can't understand why it's not working. Irish Ghost, Ineos have completely and utterly destroyed Nice over a number of years. The Glazers have completely and utterly destroyed Man United over the last 10 years. If you think those two entities together are something to back and support, I pity you. They have no track record of success in football. None. And people are championing what they're doing. And not only are they championing what they're doing, their explanation is we can't keep paying these prices. Why? Why can't we keep paying price? Why can't we give someone 250 grand a week? Why can't we pay £80 million for a player? Why can't we? Because we're in debt. Who put us in debt? Because we've made mistakes in the past. Who did that? Why can't I pay £100 million for a player if I think he's worth £100 million and give him 300 grand a week? Oh, because we did it with Anthony. Well, we shouldn't have fucking done it with Anthony, should we? I didn't do it. They did it. I wasn't involved in the negotiations. Madness. Absolute madness. Would you say fourth or fifth place an FA Cup quarterfinal is a good season? It probably is a good season for our owners, Arben. Andron says, haven't done a chat in a while, Mark. Always watching. How do we end up in this anxious position every summer? Has to be Tchouaméni and Scott now. Well, mate, with Andron, we've had 12 months to prepare for this and we're still not prepared. As I tweeted this before as well. You know, like, realistically, I keep saying this to you. The only people I really listen to when it comes to the back end of a transfer is David Ornstein or Fabrizio Romano, because they're the only two people that get briefed by the club and everybody else. How can you be an ITK in the know at Man United when Man United don't know what they're doing themselves? Yeah? I don't know. We've had an update on Tchouaméni. I hope Simon Stone's not doing it because he was watching the show. The position of Real Madrid's France international Tchouaméni continues to be monitored, but the feeling at this stage is that he will remain at the Bernabeu. If we don't get Tchouaméni, I can't see how this window works out being any good for us. I really can't. The four players I said we had to get: Anderson, gone. Tonali, about to be gone. Bruno Guimaraes, we won't do it. Tchouaméni, that's it. It's Tchouaméni or bust. In my opinion, it's Tchouaméni or bust. We had four options. Three are basically gone. So that's where we are. Considering United had the funds for Fernandes, there definitely can't be any no funds for Tchouaméni excuses, Ami. How hard do you think I'd get laughed at if I acted like United and went to the store and told them I wanted a nice steak, but I didn't think the price was fair value and I would only pay half that? Exactly, Andy. And spend 50 million more than you want this summer, but 100 million for Champions League next season. Added commercial revenue from being relevant makes up that difference. Doesn't seem that hard, says Landon. Exactly, mate. Right, there's a couple of other things I want to just delve into here that I promised, and this has ended up being a long show. So please do make sure you smash a like on the video and subscribe. We've not hit 270 yet, so please do subscribe, bottom right-hand corner. There's so many comments I wanted to go through, but I did get sent this. It was Rio Ferdinand who, you know, basically acts like he's sponsored by Manchester United and the Glazers, but, you know, maybe he's talking a little bit of sense. He said 85 million guaranteed is a huge fee. Add wages of around 250 grand a week and it's easy to see why the club walked away. First of all, mate, we bought you from Leeds on the equivalent money and wages. So should we have walked away from you? Hypocrite. We literally, in today's market, paid him big wages and a very big fee to Leeds. So how he can sit there and say you can understand why the club walked away, I don't think you'd have liked it if we'd walked away from you, mate. I'm not saying Rio Ferdinand is worse than Matheus Fernandes or anything like that. What I'm saying is it was ambitious to get Rio Ferdinand and it would be ambitious to get Matheus Fernandes. So first of all, we literally did it for you, mate, and you're saying you can understand why we walked away. Maybe we should have walked away from you then. He said it also means United will miss out on certain targets once the price goes beyond what the club believes they're worth. That's the trade-off. I think this will hurt United in the short term, but benefit them in the long term. We've already seen where overpaying gets you: inflated contracts, poor resale value, and players who become difficult to move on. Yeah, but that's because Manchester United bought the wrong players, mate. Sancho, Antony, Di Maria, we bought the wrong players. Saying overpaying is a bad thing is like saying if you go out on a date with someone and it's bad, don't go out on a date again because they're all bad. Man City have overpaid on players. They keep winning the league. We used to overpay on players. We kept winning the league. The way you phrase that is that Man United are right not to overpay. It's not even overpaying. It's the market value. It's what the cost. That's what Mateus Fernandez costs. That's what Elliot Anderson costs. These are players that the club themselves said they wanted, and you're sat there saying they're right to walk away because we can't overpay. It's not overpaying, is it? It's the price of the players that we want. And we used to do it. We literally did it with you. So how are we going to be successful if we don't buy the right players because we don't want to pay the price?
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
There are still very good midfielders in the 40 to 60 million range if the scouting department does its job properly. Well, I'd love to know who these midfielders are, mate. Who in the 50 to 60 million range is as good as Mateus Fernandez, Elliot Anderson, Tonali? Like, who are they? And also, why have we not scouted them in the first place? The scouting department told Man United the players, Tonali, Anderson, Fernandez. We've now got a scout again for people within a parameter of 40 to 60 million. It's preposterous, mate. It's preposterous. What you're basically saying is, we're right to walk away from the players that we wanted because they're too expensive. So let's re-scout people now who weren't good enough. My point is, if there was a player between 40 and 60 that was as good as Tonali, surely we'd have bought them already. What you're saying is, the players we want that we can't afford, let's now re-scout people that we can afford. But we're not getting the good players then, are we? We're operating on a budget like Everton. That's what you're saying. We're basically Everton. That's where the pressure is now. If you're going to walk away from your first choice target, you have to identify the right alternative. Hopefully they can find another Le Mans type, a player who arrives for a sensible fee and turns out to be one of the bargains of the season. So basically what Rio is saying is we're Everton. You know, we can't afford the players that we need, players like me and Rooney and Roy Keane that we bought in the past. We're not that club anymore. What we need to do is buy bargain basement players and hope they end up being good. You've just described Everton. So basically, we're Everton, are we, Rio? That's who we are? And you're justifying it. And you can see why some fans are fucking fed up. We've got people out there championing this model, which is basically an Everton, and respect to Everton. I mean, Everton fans would agree. You don't compete with Liverpool. You don't compete with those budgets. We've got people out there applauding this club for behaving like Everton. Yeah, well, you know, you can't pay the prices for Anderson or Fernandez or Tonali. So what you need to do is you need to find players at the budget you do want to play and hope that they end up being good. Well, we're going to fucking fail then, aren't we? We're definitely going to fail because if you set a parameter on what you're willing to pay, it's like walking into your local Sainsbury's or Tesco and saying, I've only got £10 to pay for my dinner. And as you're walking down the aisle with all the nice stuff, you're going, can't afford it, can't afford it, can't afford it. Oh, I can afford this. That's basically what we're doing. And I think this is why so many United fans are pulling their hair out at the people who are trying to defend this bullet. It's a stupid project. And it goes against everything we ever used to do. We didn't win all those Premier League titles. You know, people talk about the United way, and there is an identity of how we used to play that we don't do anymore. I completely agree with that. You know, the way, the style of play would be something separate. But when they talk about the United way and we used to do this and we used to do that, it was fundamentally at its core underwritten by going out and paying what it takes to get the best players. I'm telling you now, under this ownership, you aren't going to have what we had before, because under this ownership, Roy Keane doesn't happen. Wayne Rooney doesn't happen. Rio Ferdinand doesn't happen. Ruud van Nistelrooy doesn't happen. Andy Cole doesn't happen. These deals just don't happen under this ownership. And that's what scares me the most, is that people want the good old days. They want Man United to win. But we're trying to win under a project that we never did before. And some of our fans are going, it's right. And it's like the bloody Pied Piper. You're going to fall off a fucking cliff. You're following a tune to, you know, what possibly is going to be off the edge of a fucking cliff. And you're dancing along to it. Our success was built upon being the club that went and bought the best. And now we're not doing it. Hi, Mark. Keep your head up on X with your Elise tweet. You're getting grilled for the Neto comparison from years ago. People are so nasty. Ignore the trolls. Everyone is entitled to have their own opinion. Jack, I actually didn't even know that. So thank you for telling me something that I didn't know and was completely ignoring anyway. But thank you for actually mentioning Elise, because regardless of what I thought, I'm not the director of football. I'm not the owner of the football club. And I'm not Jason Wilcock. So what I think personally goes over everybody else's head, because I don't run Man United. The purpose of that tweet, and I remember it from last night, is I said that this all started with Ineos and Elise. They wanted Elise. They wanted Elise, not me. You know, at that time, I remember saying I'd prefer Neto, stupidly. I put my hands up. I also said that Van Dijk was going to be the Dutch Chris Smalling. So, you know I get a lot right, but I also get things wrong because I'm human. Nobody gets everything right. Absolutely not. And the day that you learn that as a human being, you will start to enjoy your life better, because the people who chase being right all the time are going to end up being very miserable. So I did say I'd prefer Neto over Elise. I remember that. My point was, Ineos wanted Elise, but they weren't willing to overpay. And look at what happened. And what I said last night is, this all started with Elise, and it's been going on ever since. So I was right. Personalizing it about my opinion about Neto, well, I'm not having that conversation. I know what I said. I have to own the L. Of course I do. But the point I made last night was relevant. It was projecting Manchester United's failure in transfers and unwillingness to overpay. Well, we backed out of Elise because we didn't want to overpay. Look at what happened there. We're still doing it. We're still doing it. Jim needs his annual Iceland trip before spending, says Alpha. A player is only overpriced if you can buy equivalent alternatives for cheaper. If you can't do that, that is the market price. Thank you. Thank you. Somebody finally fucking gets it and puts it across in a very succinct way. EDW, you are absolutely spot on. A player is only overpriced if there is an equivalent player at a cheaper price. So if Elliot Anderson at 116 million is overpriced, well, where's the alternative Elliot Anderson at 90? If Mateus Fernandez is overpriced, where's the equivalent player at 60? The market dictates the price. They can't be overpriced if that's the price other clubs are willing to pay, because that's the market. And people haven't figured this out, because what they're doing is they're going, probably like United, well, I don't think he's worth any more than 60. Well, you're wrong. You're wrong. You're projecting your personal opinion onto fact. I personally don't think Mateus Fernandez is worth more than 60, but that's my market value that lives in my head. It doesn't live in reality. The reality is he's an £85 million player. That's what he is. And to be honest with you, I do understand West Ham's stance. He'd only been at the club for a year. They spent £40 million on him. They sold Declan Rice for £100 million. So, you know, they pitched his price at around £80 million and they got it. Look at the World Cup. They won't try to do a swap for Onana in the Ivory Coast 26. We don't scout. We look at our top players, then complain, says Aki. Serious question. So what do we, the fans, do next, says Man Plus Guitar. We do nothing, because we never do. Do get Alex Scott, says Mark Hughes. Spent the summer spinning other targets so we can say there's no value in the market, because we always wanted to buy Belaba. Get the fans on its knees till we accept just anything, says Irfan. Ipster says, we were so slow in the market that when we need to rebuild, got themselves now all prices and jacked up. They're using the excuse of the player not willing to come and people are falling for it. Yeah, well, as I said at the start of the video, the player not wanting to come and only wanting Man United is complete and utter horse shit. We had to persuade Roy Keane not to go to Blackburn. Bruno Fernandes himself was speaking positively about Tottenham being the perfect club for him before he signed for us. So, you know, players need persuading. Top players need persuading. But I'm waiting for the reaction from United now. I'm waiting for what the reaction's going to be. And for me, it's got to be Tchouaméni. Otherwise, you are going into next season with huge question marks. And there is already a huge question mark, and his name is Michael Carrick. I'm not convinced about this manager. I want him to do well. He is the chosen one now, but there is a lot of questions about him. There can't be question marks about the transfer window as well. Spend 50 million more. Done that one from Landon. All United do is dream. Tchouaméni is going to be more expensive than Fernandes with higher wages. We're a joke. Belabor incoming. They're trying to justify buying Belabor, says Keel. Irfan says, said it before, the owners are thinking like Arsenal, why they built the stadium. Top four and let's see. Romano said, De Zerbi wants an influence on transfer as manager versus Carrick, who I think is a yes man with no pushback. This is why I want a manager though, Irfan. This is why I want a manager at Manchester United, because he is, you know, look at the role De Zerbi's had in getting these players in. And that's his contract. I want to be involved in transfers. Michael Carrick is, you know, he's just a head coach, isn't he? That's what he's doing. I also think as well, £40 million for a 27-year-old Ederson with 1 year left on his contract, is that not overpaying? I mean, it's 85 for Matheus Fernandes, who is 21 with his whole career ahead of him and Premier League proven, but it's 40 for a guy that's never played in the Premier League, who is 27 with 1 year left on his contract. I know it's a smaller fee, but you could argue, well, did we not overpay there? We're still paying £250,000 a week to Mason Mount as well. We're not trying to move him on. We're not trying to get rid of him. So there's hypocrisy in what we're doing, no doubt about it. Apparently, £60 million will be paid out by the club this year to service debt, which is worrying, isn't it? Do you genuinely think West Ham are getting a bargain with Matheus Fernandes? Look, where Spurs were at the end of the season, I would have said they'll do well to finish mid-table. Where they are today, I'd say they'll be battling for top five. That's not just because of Matheus Fernandes, but he's a big part of it. So that £85 million would not bother me a shit as a Spurs fan. I tell you what, there'll be no Spurs fan out there going, I think we've overpaid and the wages are ridiculous. Because other clubs don't get indoctrinated like this. I never hear Liverpool fans when they bought Wirtz going, oh, I think that's too much and look at his wage. Fans get excited about that sort of stuff because they're not accountants, they're football fans. And I believe if you're going to pay £80 million for a player, they should be on between 200 and 300 grand a week. That's my belief. So I don't have a problem with it. I do have a problem with giving Anthony 200 grand a week and paying £90 million for him. That was a desperate, stupid deal at the end of the window where we paid a lot of money for a player that wasn't worth it. But when the data says this is the player that you should go for, I don't think that's overpaying. I don't. What plan is Alex Scott? E? It's got to be plan E at best. You've got Anderson A. You've got Tonali B. You've got Matheus Fernandes and Tchouaméni that are probably C and D. So anybody from this point has got to be plan E. Look, we definitely... Tchouaméni is our dream signing, so he's in the top four. Fernandes was definitely in the top four. Tonali was definitely in the top four. And Anderson was the plan A. So any player we go for now is plan E. Which is terrifying, isn't it, when you think about it? Moneyball doesn't work. The Oakland A's never won the World Series. You can't buy Burberry at the price of Gap. Lovely, lovely words, Korshik. Lovely. I would rather overpay for a quality player than a mid-table quality player who, quote, loves the club. I agree with you now. I completely agree with you. on that one. All United do is dream. Tchouaméni is going to be more expensive than Fernandes with higher wages. We're a joke. Belabor incoming. Look, Tonali's going to Spurs. Spurs have had a much better transfer window than us and they finished 17th. Explain that. I'm yet to hear any of these ex-players or people going on Sky or, you know, people on X, I'm yet to hear any of them come out with a coherent argument as to why what Man United are doing is the right thing. What Man United are doing is protecting the pockets of the Glazers and Ineos of this world because they need to build a new stadium that they destroyed and they need to service the debt that they put on us. There is no other argument. And also, how are Spurs more ambitious than Man United when they finish 17th? How are Spurs more cash rich than Man United? How are Spurs able to spend more money than Man United? And nobody can answer that one either. So, you know, I'm sorry. I'm not disrespecting these people, by the way. I'm just saying, you people who are defending United walking away from this deal are completely missing the point that United walked towards this deal because the data told them to. And then when it came down to it, refused to pay it because our owners think they know the market better than everybody else. And on top of that, our success, our history is built. 8 Premier Leagues in 12 years was built on buying people like Elliot Anderson and Mateus Fernandes at those prices and at those wages. And we're now being told we shouldn't be doing that by people who fucked up a club in France and fucked up this club for 13 years. How ridiculous does it sound if you're one of those fans backing them over what we know worked? We used to go and buy people who'd been relegated and give them big wages and break British transfer records. We used to go and buy people for huge fees and compete with other clubs for them. And we used to win Premier Leagues. And now people are agreeing with part of the ownership that have destroyed it, Nice, and part of the ownership that have destroyed the club over the last 13 years. Well, sorry, I have not heard one of you come out with a reason why you're right yet. I will always respect opinions, and unless I say I don't, it's not that I don't respect them. I just think you're brainwashed. I really do. I'm yet to hear a comment that, you know, makes any sense. And "I'll shut up, Mark" is not a comment that makes sense, mate. That is a win for me and everybody else who is calling you out and your nonsense that you're brainwashed by the Glazers. You haven't got a bloody clue what you're on about. The next thing is going to be what the reaction's going to be. Irfan says, "How can you call Plan E best in class, let alone win the league in 2 years, as the nut jobs in charge keep saying?" Thank you so much. Has Simon Stone been briefed by Man United? Let me have a quick look. Let's have a look. I mean, this came out 40 minutes ago. "No signings, no sales. What's happening at Man United?" 35 million deal for Edison. "Feeling at Real Madrid at this stage is that he'll stay at the Santiago Bernabeu. And Mecha is being considered. Tyler Adams, Carlos Belabor, Alex Scott." I think United are reeling at the moment. I think United are reeling. I think, you know, I said this a couple of weeks ago. United a couple of weeks ago were acting relaxed. They were acting like everything's okay. I said at the time, do you think it's good for a football club to be relaxed in the middle of January, in the middle of June? I don't think it is. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying you're not relaxed. You know, you're stressed. You're trying to get things done. Simon Stone says that Man United officials are portraying a sense of calm, stating it's 7 weeks before the Premier League game against Hull and almost 9 weeks before the transfer window closes. "We are going to sign players is the assurance. How they play, not whether they are a big name or not, will be the judgment on which their status is measured. It is being stressed." "We're going to sign players is the assurance. How they play, not whether they are a big name or not, will be the judgment." Fucking hell. So we were going for Anderson, who would have been expensive. We were going for Diamande, who would have been expensive. We were going for Tonali, who would have been expensive. We do like Chermini, who would be expensive. We were going for Mateus Fernandez, who was expensive. But what we're now saying is, it's not about how big the name is. It's about whether they can play football. So we're basically abandoning everything we were planning on doing because it's too expensive. And what we're now trying to do is pretend that the plan all along was to buy cheap crap. This is what I mean. They are not calm. They are reeling. They are absolutely reeling. Okay, let's see what's coming next. That was a good therapy session. Thank you, everybody, for watching. Rest of the day. I swapped with Beth today because I had to go and get my hair cut and stuff. So that was the 2 o'clock show. I am live on... Where am I live? Oh, England. Bloody hell. I tell you what, this World Cup has been enjoyable, but I've got to say, the last 24 hours, I have completely and utterly... Not lost interest, but like took my foot off the pedal on it because I'm right in the United zone at the moment. So we are live at 5 on That's Football for the England game. So you can join us there for that. And then we are live here at 8 o'clock. We've got an 8 o'clock show tonight where we can pick up this again. Thank you so much. I have seen the comments about Kamada being a free agent. I've tried my best to ignore it because it makes me want to cry. Kamada free agent as a solution for Man United makes me want to cry. I mean, how many times have I said we're basically Everton in the last 8 months? And people defend it. The Glazers must love it. Take care, everyone. Stay safe.
What's up, Foos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.